Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for March 21st, 2008. We hear depressing news about extinctions all the time, but this week we're going to tell you about two exciting new developments in global species conservation, the Encyclopedia of Life and the Global Seed Vault. But first, Suzanne answers a question about one particular species sent in to us from Geneva Schumacher's 8th grade class at North Royalton Middle School in Ohio.
They want to know why zebras have stripes. After all, doesn't that make them kind of obvious to predators that would like to eat them?
Yeah, that's a question I myself have often wondered about. Those gaudy stripes seem awfully risky.
Well, I spoke with behavioral ecologist Martin Stevens from the University of Cambridge in England, and he says that while stripes are conspicuous during the day, they could provide camouflage once daylight fades.
Many predators hunt at dusk when the stripes may start to merge and start to have a disruptive effect and almost break up the form of the zebra in fairly dim light conditions. So you can imagine a lion hunting at dusk finds it difficult to pick out a zebra against the background.
He says stripes may also protect zebras by helping individuals blend in with their herd.
Having stripes makes it difficult for a predator to spot an individual against the rest of the herd. So again, we can imagine a predator that's trying to catch an individual zebra, and this zebra is moving around in front of other members of the herd, and that makes it very difficult for the predator to pick out and catch that individual. So it's almost like a confusion effect.
He says another possibility is that the stripes confuse deadly tsetse flies, making them less likely to bite.
It's hard for the tsetse fly to resolve the stripes properly, or there's some interference effect with their visual system, and that therefore means that either they don't detect the zebra itself, or there's something that they don't equate it to being a prey item.
A big thanks to the students of North Royalton Middle School for sending in that question. And if you have a science question, write to us from our website at www.scienceupdate.com or give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, you'll win a Science Update Smarten Up mug.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, zebras are just one of many millions of kinds of organisms in the world, and information about them is scattered in thousands of books, journal articles, or just facts in people's heads. Now scientists have created a website called the Encyclopedia of Life. It's a comprehensive repository of information about every species on Earth. Anyone can visit the website for accurate information about a species, from its physical description and geographic distribution to its conservation status or even its DNA sequence. Biologist Gary Borisy is director of the Marine Biological Laboratory in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. He says the Encyclopedia of Life will make research much easier than in the past.
If you wanted to find out information about some species or about a collection of species or a biome or a place in the world and ask what kind of species are there, you would have to go to many different kinds of sources, each with their own characteristics. What we hope with the Encyclopedia of Life to accomplish is to provide one-stop shopping for information about all species, all life on Earth. It will be free, open access, open content to all the information we can assemble from data partners around the world.
The site currently has extensive information on about 30,000 species, but he says it will eventually cover more than 1 million.
We see it as indefinite. It will be ever evolving, ever expanding. So we hope to establish this in perpetuity. It will be a tool for understanding life and for conserving it and managing it.
You can check out the Encyclopedia of Life at www.eol.org.
Thanks, Bob. Well, the internet is just one tool that can help us conserve life on Earth. Across the globe, seed banks safeguard the diversity of regional food crops. But sometimes these are destroyed by natural disasters, accidents, or even war. That's where the new Global Seed Vault comes in, according to Carrie Fowler, executive director of the Global Crop Diversity Trust.
We've lost collections in the recent past in Iraq and Afghanistan, Burundi, and the Solomon Islands in war and civil strife situations, but we lose diversity within other collections where individual samples are lost and become extinct, probably on a daily basis. Rather than having those kind of situations cause extinction as they have in the past, we wanted to build a very safe facility that would guard against that and conserve this diversity because we know agriculture depends on it.
The vault recently opened with over 100 million seeds, representing food crops from over 100 countries. It's on a remote Norwegian island in the high Arctic.
It's located in Svalbard, which is above mainland Norway. It's at 78 degrees north. And physically, the structure is built inside of a mountain at the end of a very long tunnel of about 125 yards or so. And at the end of that tunnel, there are three vault rooms, each capable of storing about 1.5 million samples of seeds of agricultural crops. We have a system that's about as fail-safe as we could possibly get it. This facility is the best insulated freezer in the world, and it's naturally below freezing.
Fowler adds that some of the seeds could survive for thousands of years in the frozen vault.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we'll talk about new sources of energy for the 21st century, from people power to electricity from bacteria. And we'll answer a listener's question about that ultimate power source in the sky, the sun. Until then, tune in to the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. We've got an electrifying new science story every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website or at iTunes. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.